Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You can open your Bibles to the book of James. We are in James chapter 5. We're going to look at the first 12 verses today, God willing. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This is God's word. "Come now, you rich people, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have stored up treasure in the last days. Look, the pay that you withheld from the workers who mowed your fields cries out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have indulged yourselves. You've fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous who does not resist you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another, so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You've heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. "Come now, you rich people, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you." I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but just want you to consider for a moment, would you be excited about being rich? Wouldn't it be wonderful to just have tons and tons of money, because then you wouldn't have to worry about anything? Not true. In fact, it says you ought to weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Because if your confidence is in earthly riches, you will be wiped out. For one thing, this I can guarantee. I can't guarantee what's going to happen to your financial portfolio, but I can guarantee this: you're going to die. And your money can't save you. And you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for what you did with the wealth that he entrusted to you. This is not saying that it's a sin to be rich. It goes on to describe why these rich people are in trouble. "Your wealth has rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire." Why? "You have stored up treasure in the last days. Look, the pay that you withheld from the workers who mowed your fields cries out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You've lived luxuriously on earth and have indulged yourselves. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You've condemned, you've murdered the righteous who does not resist you. What did these people do that was wrong? They did what Jesus told us not to do. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. What does a moth eat? A moth eats stuff you're not wearing, okay? Stuff that's in storage. Be careful about having a whole bunch of stuff stored up just because it's good stuff. I was given a bunch of shirts recently because Mr. Seth has connections. And I was given a bunch of shirts, so I'm delighted. I mean, here are all these wonderful shirts. But now I've got a problem. I've got too many shirts. So I'm having to go through and decide which shirts are being replaced because somebody else can wear the shirts I'm not keeping because I don't need that many shirts, right? It's okay to have nice stuff, but share it. If you get more coming in this way, send some stuff out that way. Don't just store it up. Moths destroy the stuff that's not being used. What does rust destroy? Stuff that's not being used, okay? The time when metal is most susceptible to rust is when something's sitting there or has been driven a lot in places like Ohio where there's tons of salt on the road. Rust works on things that are not working, okay? If it sits still, it is more susceptible to rust. That's just the way it works. So Jesus is warning against storing up things you are not able to use, that extra toaster that you put in the garage or in the basement because you thought if the new one breaks, we can go back and use the old one again. No, if the old one still works, pass it on to somebody who needs a toaster and wouldn't mind the fact that it's used. You got a new one from your in-laws? Great, pass the old one along. Don't hold on to stuff you can't use. Is it okay to have things that we only use part of the year? For instance, do I need to give away my lawnmower at the end of every grass growing season? No, you can save it till the next year. But if you get a new mower, don't hang on to the old mower just in case the new one is not working. Okay? And then there's a second category Jesus talks about, and that is where thieves break in and steal. What do thieves break in and steal? Luxuries. Things you didn't need in the first place. Thieves don't generally come in and steal oatmeal. Okay? Man, there's been a thief in our house. How can you tell? Somebody took the Quaker oats. Okay? That's not what they go for, is it? Oh, no, it's the blanket thief. Somebody came in here and took our blankets. No, that's not what happens. They take gold. They take silver. They take jewels. They take fur coats. They take stuff that is exceptionally expensive and generally easy to carry. Well, they also take like big televisions. Yeah, you don't need one of those. Is it okay to have a television like that? I'm not going to put you under law and tell you you can't have a big television because I have one. But I'll tell you this. If somebody was stealing my television, I wouldn't shoot them. Because luxury items, you can take it or leave it. And if you can't leave it, you shouldn't take it.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, these rich people are in trouble because of the way they got their wealth, because of what they did with their wealth. It's not because they're wealthy. Job is going to be used as an example of God's blessing in this very chapter, in these verses. Job is somebody that we are to look to as an example of God's kindness. What's the example there? God not only healed his body, but he made him twice as rich as he was before. Okay? So it's okay to be rich. It's not okay to put your confidence in riches. It's okay to have wealth. It's not okay to try and get wealth by injustice, by refusing to pay people what you owe them. If you make a deal with somebody and you say, you do this and I'll pay you this much, you make sure and pay them, and pay them promptly. Don't make them wait. Don't make them have to keep reminding you. When we first started this ministry in this community, one of the things we quickly developed a reputation for was paying our bills before they were due. We'd get a bill and it would say, you know, it's due by the 10th of next month. We would pay it immediately when we got the bill. And people began to comment on that. Because a lot of people say, oh yeah, I'll pay you. And then, man, it's like, you know, really working hard to get that payment. But we paid immediately before it was due. And as a result, people noticed. There's something different about that place. Those people are not like most folks. Praise the Lord. Because we want them to know that God is our provider and that He is faithful and He is generous. When I first went to open an account at one of the local banks, where we now have an account, I went there to open an account for the ranch. And the manager said, oh, we already gave. And I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, you said you're starting a children's home? And I said, yes. He said, we already gave. And I said, let's start this over again. I said, I'm not here to ask for a contribution. I'm here to open an account for the children's home that we're starting in Ware's Valley. And he said, oh, aren't you with so-and-so? And I said, no. So-and-so never got the children's home he was raising funds for started. But we didn't come into this community to ask for money. We came into this community to provide a home and school for children who needed it. And God has faithfully provided. And people in this community have ended up supporting us. But it's not because we went around everywhere like this, saying, please help us. Please, please help us. Please help us. I want you to understand something. If your confidence is in money or in yourself, what you can do, you're in trouble. If your confidence is in God, He will take care of you. And you can rejoice and have confidence. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. You see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit from the earth and is patient until it receives the early and late rains? There's a process of getting to the destination. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Do you know that whatever problems you and I are facing, they are temporary? If you are a brother or a sister in Christ, whatever problems you have to go through, short term. Now, it doesn't always feel that way when you're going through it. You may be miserable, but you will be only for a short time. They don't tell me that. It's been 6 months. Do you realize how short 6 months is? No, not when you're in the middle of it. But it's going to end. It's going to pass. Remember the old guy who stood before you and said, I feel as if it was very recently that I was young. Okay, I'm the old guy. And I'm telling you, I remember being 8 years old, like it was yesterday. I remember when I first got my driver's license and was allowed by my dad to take the car out by myself. I mean, just me in the car. Woo-hoo! I remember where I drove the car. What a thrill. That was just the other day. I remember recently when I met a beautiful young lady from Shreveport, Louisiana, named Susie. She was gorgeous. I thought she could be a model. But I fell in love with her before I saw her because I'd heard her testimony of faith in Christ. And I was so impressed with her obvious love for the Lord that I had to look to see who that was that was talking. And when I saw her, I thought, praise the Lord. That was just the other day. We were sitting in a little place, a storefront in Black Mountain, North Carolina, called the Stone of Ebenezer that some friends and I had started. We had an opportunity there on the weekends for young adults to come and enjoy worship and Bible study together. And that was her first time to visit there. Someone called on her to share a testimony, and the rest is history. Now we've been married over 43 years, and it went by just like that. I remember when we found out we were expecting our first child. He's 40 now. How'd that happen? He's older now than I was when we started the ranch. How'd that happen? I'm telling you, whatever you're going through, it's going to go by faster than you can imagine. It might seem slow in the moment. You might feel like you're really having to hang in there and be brave, and this is tough. But let me tell you, all of a sudden, you're going to be looking back on it. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Do not complain about one another. Don't do it. It doesn't say, you know, it's better not to complain about one another. No, it says, cut it out. Quit doing that. Do not complain about one another. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one either, but I'm guessing some of you on occasion may be inclined to complain about one another. Stop that. Well, what's the problem with it? Your boss, God, says he doesn't like it when you do that. So don't do it anymore. Don't do that. Do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Just picture if you ran into the house with muddy boots, leaving mud across the floor in order to tell your parent that your brother had gotten mud on the front porch. Okay? Would that be an embarrassing situation?
But that's what happens when we complain about one another. God looks and says, hey, you're not so perfect yourself. So stop complaining. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. These were people chosen by God, set apart, anointed by Him, and used by Him as spokespeople. And He says, we count those blessed who've endured. The only way to endure is to go through tough stuff. The only way that you can have the fruit of the Spirit, which includes long-suffering as part of your character, is if you suffer long. The only way you can have patience, which is one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, the only way you can have patience is if you have to wait on stuff. So, endure. You've heard of Job's endurance and seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is compassionate? Do you believe that He really does care about you and that He will take care of you? It's true. He is compassionate and He is merciful. And then above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear with any kind of oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad impressed on me very clearly that I must never lie. It was Christmas morning. I was sitting on the floor playing with a new train set. My dad was sitting on the sofa, or as we called it in the Midwest in the 1950s, the Davenport. Anybody remember the word Davenport? Yep. And I'm sitting there on the floor, dad sitting on the Davenport, and he said, Jimmy. My dad's voice was lower than that, but I can't go lower than that. Jimmy. I looked up. I always snapped to when dad spoke. He said, never, ever lie. Okay, yes, sir. And he said, and if you ever do lie, be sure, when you realize it, to come back and tell me the truth. Yes, sir. Now, why would he say something like that? Because he was reading his Bible and he's seeing how God feels about lying. Let me tell you something. It's not okay to lie. So my dad impressed on me, I must tell the truth. But you know what he also impressed on me when I was a little kid? Don't say, I promise. You know why? Because what that does is to make it clear that you don't always tell the truth. Why do you have to say, I promise? I swear, really. What you're saying is, if I don't promise, then it's not necessarily to be believed. If I'm really going to tell the truth, I'll say, I swear. If I'm really going to tell the truth, I'll say, I promise. Well, you're always supposed to tell the truth, so you don't have to keep promising. That's what he's saying there. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Where did he get that? Jesus, Sermon on the Mount. A lot of the book of James is an amplification of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you want to enjoy the comparison, go back and read the two back to back. And it'll be like, okay, that's where he says that, that's where he says that. Let me tell you something, folks. The reason we're always supposed to tell the truth is because God does. God never lies. God does make promises. Not because He has to, because He knows what we're like. And God keeps all of His promises, and we find the fulfillment of every one in Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make,
I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.